Red Business with Jonathan Healy.
Hi there, and thank you very much for joining us. Coming up on this episode, we're going to speak to an artist about how difficult it is to make money and use his art as a business. But first up, we're going to talk to a man who has been very much involved in the energy area for many, many years, in his entire career, in fact, working with Bord Gáis Energy. Then he went on to set up a business called Amarenco, which is in the solar panels game. But now he's decided he wants to turn his hand to politics. John Mullins, you're very welcome to the podcast. How are you?
How are you, Johnson? Very well, thank you.
I've always wondered why people would enter politics, purely because from my perspective, it's an awful job. It's thankless. You can be thrown out of it even if you're doing it well. And, you know, the hours are painfully long. I mean, I'm not exactly selling it to you here, but why have you decided to run?
Well, I suppose in my younger years, I was involved in Fine Gael. In the early 90s, when Pascal Donoghue was in Young Fine Gael, Simon Coveney, a whole number of others, actually, I was president of Young Fine Gael for 2 years, and I was very active in the party. And over the last 30 years, I've had various positions in the party, and I was on the executive council for the last 3 years. I've been a trustee of the party and got back involved more heavily recently. And I suppose in the context of the circumstances in Ireland South, Deirdre Clune decided to step back, and there was an opportunity for a Cork-based Fine Gael candidate. And I was cycling out of the business I set up with my colleagues and decided that I was going to step back from Amarenco in the course of 2024. So I suppose these things collided, and I decided that I would go into frontline politics and certainly make a difference by putting somebody hopefully into Brussels with a very different background, a background of somebody who's delivered infrastructure and delivered jobs and delivered on business.
Okay, well, I mean, to borrow the famous Bill Clinton phrase, a lot of people inhaled in college, but that didn't mean they didn't necessarily go on to become cannabis users later in life. You know, it would be just as easy not to become a politician to go off and do something else. The motivation, do people question your motivation consistently about this? Because anyone in business thinks politicians are a bit mad.
I think those who know me best actually are not surprised, because you know, I have, played roles in civic and public society, Jonathan, over the years. You know, I've been chairman of the Port of Cork. I've been chairman of at least three national charities. You know, I get involved in civic society and because I care about things. And I suppose, you know, people would be surprised that you're leaving a business. But, you know, an entrepreneur who sets up a business needs to know when the time is right to move on so that the business can move on rather than the entrepreneur. And you know, that decision came to pass, and I felt, look, I'm young enough to actually have another aspect of my career, and I decided to go back to the future, as they say, and go into frontline politics.
And the other thing, of course, is you now have to face the electorate. You're one of, I think it's two candidates for the party that you're running for. There are many, many other candidates as well vying to get their hands on the seats in the Ireland South constituency. It's not an easy ask. I mean, you're going to have to effectively forget everything you learned about business and switch it to politics and shaking hands instead.
Well, I mean, look, as somebody who's a brand new candidate in the context of the European election, and also understanding that, you know, the constituency runs from Enniskerry to Beara and from, you know, Loophead to Cairnsore Point, it's an enormous constituency. You know, trying to get out there as much as I can and get as much name recognition is really important, because, you know, many people, as you say, know me from a business background, but they don't know of my background or potential as a politician. But, you know, my reasoning for getting into this is all because of the fact that I've delivered in the past in terms of what I've done in life. And I think I can do the same in politics. And I've had an affiliation with Fine Gael for over 30 years. And, you know, it doesn't, you know, brand me as a natural politician from the get-go. But what I would say, Jonathan, is that I believe I have a background in delivery that, in terms of being elected by the people of Ireland South, I believe I can deliver on policy. And we need to remember, European Parliament votes on about 70% of Irish legislation. We have to enact it here. So the European Parliament is really, really important. And I have a history of international deal making right across Europe. I've established bases right across Europe. You know, I have had the ability to speak French, which helps. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, this is about delivering for citizens, and it is public service. And I know there's toxicity out there and the talk about social media and all of that. I completely ignore all of that, because for me, there's a purpose about delivery and a purpose about doing something for the citizens of Ireland South.
Now, is it Ronan O'Gara French or is it proper French? I mean, that's a key question you're going to have to settle before you go to Brussels or Strasbourg.
Well, it is with a Cork accent, just like Ronan's. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, French people and Belgians do like when, you know, English speaking people or native English speaking people make an attempt to speak their language.
Yeah, but making an effort does help. So what happens to Amarenco then? Because you guys have been on a real trajectory there, not necessarily here in Ireland. You have a few bits and pieces, but it's abroad where those solar panel projects really took off.
Yeah, I mean, primarily in France is our biggest market, followed by Spain, Portugal, and then Ireland. We have, you know, installations across the Middle East, North Africa, and Asia. But, you know, we've just recruited in two senior executives. We announced them on LinkedIn there about 6 weeks ago. In fact, as I speak, they're here in Cork meeting the local team. They're taking on the mantle. And I'm progressively retiring out of the business, and that's all agreed with shareholders. The time frame is there, and for me, I just want to, you know, put my energy into as something that I probably always wanted to do in my life, was to enter frontline politics and deliver for people.
Okay, well, we will have more interviews with more candidates as we get closer to the European elections. You're the first out of the blocks, and an interesting one from a business perspective. John Mullins, outgoing CEO of Amarenco and incoming candidate in the Ireland South constituency. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us, John.
Thank you, Jonathan. Appreciate it.
A West Cork business owner is behind a campaign called VAT9, which is lobbying for the current VAT rate in hospitality to be brought back down to 9%. Thomas McCarthy owns Balnady Bus Accommodations, which has amongst its offerings a coffee truck and a dining area. And obviously, it is a struggle to keep costs under control. You're not alone, Thomas. How are you keeping?
Good. How are you getting on?
I'm very well. Tell us a little bit about Balnady Bus, first of all. What do you do?
So we started in June 2021. We opened our doors. We bought a double-decker bus during COVID. So it was October 2020. And we renovated it, and we recorded our progress on TikTok and social media. And then it started to gain a bit of a following. And then we were on one of the TV shows with Dermot Bannon, Super Small Spaces, which helped a lot. And then so 3 years down the line now, we have three buses, a coffee truck. We've opened like a campsite area, and then we only last year opened a rescue farm, which is based off donations open to the public.
Okay, I'm fascinated by the buses, first of all. Are we talking old Bus Éireann buses, Dublin buses? Where are you getting them?
So the first one was actually a Dublin bus, but it was owned by a local bus company here, Ovens Coaches. And then we bought that one and we gutted it and we started renovating. We did a lot of the work ourselves, but we had loads of help then from neighbours, friends and family. The second one that we got down from the north of Ireland, it actually came from Scotland. And then the third one was a Vikings tour bus up in Dublin, but was parked outside a bar in Clare for a few years. So they come from all over.
Right, okay. And how comfortable are these buses? Well, how easy are they to kind of install things on? Because my recollection of buses, very hot and very cold, very rarely the right temperature. So how do you prevent people from being exposed to the elements?
Yeah, it is. It's challenging, all right. But like after the first one, we kind of learned what we were doing. You have to get the right types of insulation. We have a pro air ventilation system, which regulates the air inside the bus. So they're done up to quite a good standard, you know. And in the summertime, it does get quite hot. But we have like there's like the ventilation systems, there's fans. And in the winter, because it's insulated so well, it is quite comfortable enough. But it's kind of trial and error at the start.
Yeah. Now, you are obviously a relatively new business, and opening the coffee truck in the dining area, I'm guessing, is a way to supplement what you're doing otherwise. Because if you've got people in the campsite, people staying in the buses, serving them a cup of coffee is probably the least that they would expect. Why have you gotten behind this campaign, VAT9?
I suppose because like for a small business like us, I know we're quite new. Like the coffee truck is only open about a year and a half. So we haven't really known any other rate than the 13.5% rate of VAT. But like, because Like the hospitality sector has been crippled the last few years with increase in electricity bills, the increase in raw ingredients like butter has been so expensive. So therefore, the cakes that you're buying in are so expensive. Coffee prices have gone up, milk prices have gone up, like the price of the coffee cups themselves have gone up. So it's not as profitable as it used to be. And coming from a hospitality background myself and my two sisters, we grew up working in restaurants, bars, cafes, as a part-time job in college. And it was such an integral part of our community, and we have such fond memories of it. And like these small cafes, bars, and restaurants, they are the heart and soul of rural communities. So if we don't do anything about it now, if we don't jump on board with this campaign, we're going to lose so many small businesses up and down the country, and we're just going to be left with vacant properties. And it's just, it's really sad to see
But
that happening.
you're lumped in with hotels. That's your problem, and that means you're lumped in with Dublin hotels, which occasionally have been known to charge a little bit more than their country cousins. So, I mean, is there an argument to be made for saying hotels are one thing, but running a venture like ours should be given a dispensation?
I think they should separate the tourism and the hospitality. Like there's no, like our small coffee shop in a small farmyard in West Cork paying the same VAT rate as like the Shelburne in Dublin. That just does not make sense. Like it really is, it's kind of out of touch. So I think they should separate the VAT rates. And like if they bring it back down to 9%, it gives people a chance to like make some bit of money, because people aren't making money in small cafes, bars, and restaurants. They're doing it because they love it. And it's just so hard, and like I feel like, with the tourism and the hospitality rates of that need to be separated, I think.
We are kind of in the middle of April now. The weather's shocking. It's definitely the worst run we've had, and for an Irish person to say that, it means a lot. Are you fearful for the upcoming season if it doesn't stop raining?
Honestly, yeah, we are. Like, we were supposed to be open for the Easter holidays, but because the ground was so wet, we couldn't let people into the rescue farm because they would just destroy the ground. All of our animals are more or less still inside, so we haven't opened our coffee truck. Like, our buses are available to book on our website on Airbnb, but it's quite slow compared to previous years. Like, it is, you can notice a big difference. Usually, people book their holidays for the summer in during the Easter break, so you get more bookings for the summer, but it has been quite slower this year, and I'd say the weather has a massive role to play in that.
We'll work on the assumption it's going to improve at some stage soon. What's next though? Because you seem to be a group of innovators down there in Balnadie.
What's next for here? I suppose we really want to go into food. We're looking at like a pizza truck down the line. We want to expand. But then again, like, with this current VAT rate, it makes it quite difficult to even think of future expansion because the margins are so low and it's so expensive. And then like the regulations that comes with that. So for now, we're quite comfortable with the coffee truck and the rescue farm and the accommodation. And hopefully after a good year this year, we can maybe expand in for next year into food.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to coming down to see you at some stage over the summer when the sun does shine, because inevitably it will at some point. Thomas McCarthy, owner of the Balnadie Bus. I presume people can Google it and they'll find you. Balnadie Bus accommodations. It's been a pleasure, Thomas. Thanks so much.
You so much.
Cork artist John Adams is best known for his contemporary expressionist paintings, but he's now taking the film world by storm with a new short brilliantly called Get Up the Yard. It's been receiving great recognition at international festivals, won Best Short Documentary category in India, nominated at the Cannes Film Festival, made it to the Paris Echo Film Festival, and is now being showcased in Manchester as well. And it's a great time to talk about how art can be a very diverse thing. John Adams, how are you keeping?
Hi, Jonathan. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. This is a bit of a kind of a turn for you to go into the movie world, isn't it?
Well, it's something I always wanted to do, since I was in art college. I did a couple of films in art college, and I've really enjoyed it. It's a medium I really enjoy, and I always wanted to be an actor. The way everybody has something they always wish they could do, but never get around to doing it. So, well, this isn't acting. This is telling the story of my life, I guess, and it's a very personal movie. And I was very lucky, really. I was coming across on the Cross River ferry from Passage over to Cove, where I live. And there was a car in front of me. And it had on the back of the car a sign saying GM Media Solutions, video and drone filming. So I just got on the phone straight away and I rang him. And I said, look, I'm an artist. I'd be interested in getting you to do a promo video for my art. And he said, can I come and see it? And I said, yes. So he said, where do you live? And I said, Cove. And he said, well, I'm going to Cove now. So he came straight away to my house. And within 10 minutes of him being here, he turned around to me and he said, look, I'd like to make a documentary about you if you're up for it. So I took his arm off, like, of course. It meant I was going to get a free promo video for my art.
Well, absolutely. Those opportunities don't come along that often. Tell me about why you called it Get Up The Yard, though, which I love the name.
Well, that is my catchphrase. I've been using that as a catchphrase ever since, like, the 80s when I lived in London. I used to say Get Up The Yard to everybody, you know. And I got a lot of English people saying it, like everybody who knows me says Get Up The Yard now, you know. It's goes way back to the first soap opera in Ireland called The Reardons in the 70s. And Tom Reardon used to say to Benji Reardon, Get Up The Yard, you know.
Yeah.
that's where I think it comes from. I don't really know. It probably doesn't come from there at all. But
Well, it's hard to explain Benji Reardon to an international audience, but yet here you are trying anyway. Have you been surprised by the response, John, at all these international festivals? Because being an artist is a lonely job, because you're trying to make money from something that occasionally will just not do it. But to be acknowledged and recognised this way must mean a lot.
Jonathan, I'm not surprised. I'm shocked. I'm literally shocked. I mean, it got into the final four films in Cannes, and that is like out of about 2,000 films. And then it's the European Independent Film Festival in Paris next week is the biggest independent film festival in Europe. There's going to be ambassadors from all over Europe there. And it's very highbrow kind of thing. I'm totally shocked. So I booked a ticket to go over there next week because I can't miss it. I mean, I'm in the final there as well, the last five films. So there's a 20% chance of winning. So, you know, it's just unbelievable because, Jonathan, to be honest with you, in Ireland, it's nearly impossible to get any recognition. I've been trying. I can't even get exhibitions in publicly owned galleries or anything like that. Like, you know, I've never even had a visit from any of the curators in Cork, even though I've been a full-time artist for 30 years.
You've had some brilliant commissions over time, and your artwork has kind of spread out there. It just goes to show you how difficult it can be to turn a living from art.
Well, yes, but, you know, what I'm saying to you is, like, the establishment, the art establishment, doesn't really support Irish artists, and they're off in another world. They're more concerned about conceptual art, and in Ireland it's become more important to write about your art, like with the Arts Council and places like that. And it's very unfair on artists, because most artists aren't very good at writing about their art, you know, and they've no interest in writing about it. But that's the way it's become, because the whole arts system, the Arts Council, is very bureaucratic. I tried to apply for a grant last year. You had to read 23 pages before you even start filling out the form.
I was just going to make the comment that there's a lot of form filling, I'm guessing. I mean, we have seen the minister introduce some measures of a minimum wage for artists as well, but it's kind of a select few. Do you think we need to do more, John?
I don't think that's a good idea at all. It's not what the artists want or need. What the artists need is the government to actually promote the Irish artists and to give us places to show our work. Like, for example, in Cork, there's no art gallery showing Cork artists. If anybody comes to the city, there's nowhere to go to see Cork artists except for the Lavitt Gallery, which is a very small gallery. And, you know, it's very difficult to get in there and stuff like that. So it's very limited. But, you know, Cork should have a nice big gallery promoting Cork artists, I think. And, like, if you go to Limerick, you'll see they really do give their artists a chance. I was amazed when I went up there a couple of months ago to do an interview for a radio station. Nearly every art gallery has local artists in it, and they're proud of their artists. Like, and I just think it's an awful shame in Cork. It's, It's probably the worst county in Ireland for the arts, I would say.
Here's hoping to get up the yard. Will definitely make Cork more famous as a result of your actions. Looking forward to seeing it at some stage soon, and good luck in Cannes.
Unfortunately, it wasn't selected by the Cork Art Film Festival or the Dublin Film Festival, so like they don't really want to promote their own.
Well, look, I think Cannes may top both of them, if I may be as well.
Absolutely, Jonathan, absolutely.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us.
And thank you, Jonathan.
And that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget, Red Business in Focus, with thanks to Cork's local enterprise offices, is available now on video, courtesy of redfm.ie and on our social media channels. Mary O'Neill was this week's producer, and we'll catch you as always on the next one.
Get the Red Business podcast every week with Jonathan Healy at redfm.ie and wherever you get your podcasts.